I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into Nats Insider. Dan Kolko taking you the next hour as we await game two between the Nationals and Dodgers later on tonight. The last two World Series winners going head-to-head, and the first game of the series was a good one. Speedy 2.5 hour affair. Dodgers coming out on top, though. 1-0 winners yesterday evening. I guess it was yesterday afternoon in LA, but round our parts yesterday evening. Joe Ross pitched fantastic. 5 innings in his 2021 debut, did not allow a run. The only run came across on a Justin Turner solo shot. The Nationals getting 8 hits and out hitting the Dodgers in that ballgame, but unable to cash in. They went 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position, stranded 7, and they have now lost 3 games in a row after winning on opening day in walk-off fashion. We'll dive into that a little bit later on. Lots to talk about with this team as the first homestand is behind us. We're now into the first road trip of 2021. Got a good show lined up for today. Be joined by Andrew Stevenson, Nationals outfielder, who's gotten significant playing time to begin the campaign, with Kyle Schwarber out on the injured list after the COVID outbreak on the Nationals roster. So Andrew will join us a little bit later on. Also be joined by Tal Alter, the CEO of Nationals Philanthropies. Talk about all the great charitable work that the Nationals organization is doing. And FP Santangelo will also join me as well, the analyst on our Masson TV broadcasts. We'll talk some baseball in a second. But first, I want to talk about something that it was some positive news that came out before yesterday's game even started out in Los Angeles. The first homestand of the season was fantastic. It was quick. 3 games, 2 days. But what made it so great was that fans were back in the stands and there was a buzz in the ballpark. Only 5,000 fans allowed in through that first homestand series against the Braves. But we got some great news yesterday. DC has increased that number. It'll now be 10,000 fans that will be allowed at Nationals Park for the second homestand of the season. And that is news that is going to be received very positively by everyone in the Nationals clubhouse. Max Scherzer was asked about the crowd after the opening day win, and he loved having fans so much that he was basically pleading with anyone that would listen that has a say in fan capacity, saying, "I don't understand why fans can't be allowed in the upper deck. And I don't know how it's going to be situated for the second homestand of the season. I don't know if the upper deck is going to be opened or if the seating pods that have been created in the lower bowl and the club level will be adjusted. But regardless, 10,000 fans will be at Nationals Park for the second homestand, and hopefully we can continue to increase that as the season gets deeper. The Nationals putting out a statement yesterday saying that as we see the vaccination numbers in our DC community continue to go up, that they're hopeful that this continues to bode well for obviously the health and safety of everyone in our region, but also for the crowds that we can expect at the ballpark. So very positive news there all around, and a good start to the weekend for sure. Stick around here on Nats Insider. We'll talk a lot of baseball over our final 3 blocks. We got Andrew Stevenson coming up next. Had a great conversation with the Nationals outfielder just the other day. Getting a lot of playing time and doing a nice little job out there in left field. Get your digital copy of the 2021 Washington Nationals Media Guide and first edition of the 2021 Nationals Magazine today. Visit nationals.com/publications and get your hands on those. Baseball is back at Nats Park, and for those of you heading to the ballpark, we know you might have some questions. For information on all things health, safety, and ticketing, visit nationals.com/welcome home. As I said, stick around. Nats outfielder Andrew Stevenson joins me next here on Nats Insider.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Nats Insider here on 106.7 The Fan. Dan Kolko with you, joined now by Nationals outfielder and hair, just, I don't even know what to call you. Like a style, you got it all working right now. The lettuce in the back, they can't see it on the radio, but on this Zoom call that we're recording right now, Andrew, the hair looks fantastic. Andrew Stevenson joining me on Nats Insider. Andrew, how you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Wanted to catch up with you just because there's been so much that's been going on with the team, but a lot that's been going on with you as well. Let's start with the fact that this was your first ever Major League opening day with fans in the stands where you were in the starting lineup. And I'd imagine that's something that you dream of your entire, you know, baseball childhood of running out onto that field on opening day and having fans in a stadium. And yes, it was only 5,000. But what did it feel like for you to take the field handful of days ago and get to take part in that experience?
Yeah, you know, having fans in the stands, it just brings another feel to the game, to the players. You know, those big moments just seem a little bit bigger. And, you know, you kind of get the little butterflies going. And, you know, so there's just a buzz about opening day. You know, as a kid, you know, you go on first game of the season or college opening day. And then now to be able to run out there opening day in the big leagues is something special.
You've been around for a handful of years now. Fans have gotten to know you a little bit, but they're getting to know more of you now that you've been in the starting lineup so much due to, your strong play over the last couple of years and a good spring, but also the COVID situation that your team is dealing with. Kyle Schwarber unavailable, so you've been manning left field. Let's talk about you first, and then we'll get into the team. How have you taken to this situation that the team is in and that is now allowing you to play on a regular basis to begin the season?
Yeah, you know, it's an unfortunate situation with the old COVID breaking out. You know, luckily everybody's doing good, and so we got to take that as is. But, you know, as a team, it's kind of like the next man up mentality. So going in there in spring, you're always training, getting ready to try. You know, you want to be that starter, and, you know, it's not always the case. But, you know, this situation, they call on me to play some left field. So I just kind of step in there and have some fun with it.
How have you noticed your team respond to all that you've been through over the last week and a half now? Not the way you guys planned on opening up the season, obviously, but how has the group that has been there dealt with all of the adversity?
You know, I think we've done, the whole organization has done just an awesome job. It's you know, it's kind of, I think this is going to help us in the long run. You know, you get some guys out there, you know, who, you know, might not get an opportunity this early in the season necessarily, and you get them experience and you get them going. So I think, you know, in the long run, I think this could help us out.
Yeah, I asked Davey about that the other day. Just, you know, you weather this storm, so to speak, and you have a walk-off win on opening day with a, you know, a shortened roster. And it feels to me, from an outsider's perspective, like those can be kind of galvanizing moments, things that you and your team can build around as you fight through something like this. It sounds like you agree.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if you have a chance to, you know, come back from behind and win a game walk-off style, you know, early in the season, that you kind of plants in, you know, kind of the team's head, like, you know, we're never out of the game. And, you know, big spots like that, we can come through and, you know, make something happen with it.
Andrew Stephenson joining me on Nats Insider on 106.7 The Fan. Andrew, let's talk about you. Your numbers over the last couple of years offensively have been fantastic, and obviously not as many major league at-bats as you would ideally like, but you've gotten a lot of opportunities in pinch hitting roles, spot starting type roles, and you've done a really nice job. What do you think has allowed you, when you have gotten the opportunities, to deliver at the major league level the way that you have?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just being able to slow it down, just kind of adapting into whatever role they need me to be, you know, whether that's running out there and start the game or just pinch it. I think it's just kind of being in the moment and, you know, trying to just do the best job that I can for whatever, you know, it is that day.
How tough is that to do at the major league level, to just kind of settle it all down and just focus on the task at hand and not all of the other billion things that are going on around you?
Yeah. You know, first couple of years up, it was tough. You know, every time you go up to the bat, you want to get a hit. Oh, got to get a hit. Got to help the team out every time. But, you know, baseball game, that's not realistic. So it's just being able to, you know, it's one at bat. You got to kind of group the at bats together. You know, you can't just look at it. You know, if I got one at bat today, I didn't get a hit, it's like, you can't live or die by that at bat. You just got to go out there and, you know, cluster some at bats together, and, you know, and that's kind of the mentality I've taken throughout this process.
You did some work with K-Long in the off season a couple years ago, I believe. The two of you spent a little bit of time together and worked on some things. What mechanically or approach wise have you worked on with Kevin that has put you in a good place and allowed you, once you step into that batter's box, to do damage the way that you have?
Yeah. So I think it was going into the 18 season. It was, I kind of always had good bat to ball skills, and but my lower half wasn't firing exactly like I wanted to. You know, there was definitely more power in there, and, you know, if my lower half wasn't firing, sometimes I'd get a little on off speed. I'd get out in front, kind of chop balls, and this allowed me to sit back on off speed and, you know, kind of drive some. So I think, you know, that adjustment, you know, it didn't click as fast as I wanted to in 18, but, you know, throughout the season and, you know, having a little ups and downs struggles with it, you know, it allowed me to kind of tinker it and figure out what works for me. And I think, you know, the past few seasons, it's kind of, I figured out what my swing is and what I'm trying to do at the plate. And I think, you know, hitting coaches we have, you know, K-Long, Brian Dawak, AAA, you know, they've done a great job of just kind of allowing me to be the hitter that I am and not trying to kind of mold me into something different.
Who is the hitter that Andrew Stephenson is? What type of hitter do you see yourself as?
You know, I'm a guy that's going to give a competitive bat every time I go up there, you know, find a way to get on, drive the ball. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a home run hitter, but, you know, I could run into a few here and there, but put the ball in the gap and, you know, I'm going to get on and make stuff happen.
Yeah. It seems to me like every time I look up at the scoreboard during one of your ABs, it's 2-2, it's 3-2, like you grind out at bats and you make the pitcher work for everything that he's going to get. Has that always been a trait in your game, or has that kind of, you know, become more prevalent for you as you've gotten more established and kind of gotten to know yourself better?
Yeah, I think it's come with age. I'd say it's, you know, growing up, I was always attack the first pitch fastball, you know, be aggressive, kind of. But, you know, as I've gotten older, you know, you kind of have a feel for what guys are trying to do. You have a sense of, you know, I don't necessarily need to hit that ball inside corner first pitch that I might not be able to do much with if I'm not looking there. And so I've kind of learned to just, all right, let's take that for a strike and then just go from there. So it's kind of just being, I guess, way to put it is being okay with hitting with two strikes. And it's, you never really get too comfortable hitting with two strikes, but, you know, there's a kind of a comfort level that I've kind of acquired over the years of being able to just relax with two strikes. And I think that's really helped my game.
Another component of your game that I know you've been trying to work on a little bit is your work against left-handed pitching. What specific keys have you been going at when it comes to lefty-lefty battles, and what's important for you to have success in that component?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just getting the opportunity to face more lefties. I think the more lefties you face, the more bats and kind of the more comfort you're going to have facing those lefties. You know, if you're kind of only hitting righties for a while and you get a random lefty in there, it kind of throw you off. But, you know, the minor leagues, if you get in there, you're starting every day, facing lefties is not a big deal. But, you know, you get up here and, you know, you pass 20, 25 bats have all been off righties. Then they bring the lefty specialist sinking in on your hands. You're like, okay, this isn't what you want to face.
Right, that's not fair.
But, you know, I think it's more so just getting the reps out there, you know, and not putting too much stock in the lefty or righty. Just going out there and, you know, what are they trying to do? And what am I trying to do to, you know, if I just drive the ball and wait for a good pitch?
Andrew Stevenson, Nationals outfielder, joining me on Nats Insider. Andrew, let's talk about your team now, and we'll move all the COVID stuff away from the conversation for the time being. You got to know your new look roster down in West Palm Beach over the course of spring training. Take me behind the curtain a little bit in terms of what type of a chemistry this group developed early on, and what can happen in that room over the course of this season, what you think you can accomplish there, because you've had some special groups in terms of personalities and chemistry in the past here.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the main core is still here. And I think, you know, you have those faces that have been here for a while and they still kind of hold everything together, keep everything in check. But, you know, you sprinkle in a few guys, Schwarber coming in, Lester coming in, and you just, you know, they bring a little fun, a little new, a little new way of looking at things sometimes. You know, Josh Bell gets in there, Josh Harrison, you know, he's always a good time. So I think just kind of sprinkling new things, new faces come in, you know, they get excited about what's going on, and it kind of, in another way, gets us fired up too. Like, we're going to be a really good team this year. And I just think we have a good chemistry and it's going to be a fun year.
Give us a little scouting report on a couple of the new guys. Who did you get to know a little bit down in West Palm Beach that you can tell us about?
Schwarber, you know, we're the outfields together. So, you know, we did most of our drills and, you know, he's a good time. He's looking just to lighten things up every day and he can hit the ball a long way. So it's going to be fun watching him out there.
He strikes me as like the perfect balance of fierce competitor who wants to get out there and just rip the opponent's head off with a guy that also just loves having fun and joking around. It seems like a really good 1-2 punch with him.
But for sure. For sure. He's going to be the guy that you're going to like having on your team. You know, he'll go to battle for you, but he's also, you know, going to be there to have a good time with you. So I think having that kind of personality in the locker room is going to help out throughout. It's a long season, 162. So, you know, just to have some guys that are just lighten the mood and, you know, allow everybody to have fun, I think it's going to be big.
Andrew Stevenson joining me on Nats Insider. And Andrew, I'll get you out of here with this one. What, it's kind of a broad question. You can go wherever you want to go with this. What do you think needs to happen this year for this team to accomplish something really special and make another October run like you guys did 2 years ago?
Ooh, that's a tough one right there. But, you know, I'd say it's just realizing it's a long season. So, you know, you dropped those two games the other day, and you can't put too much stock into one day. You got to go out there, compete, and try to get better each day and just grind it out and, you know, have fun doing it. Because if you treat this as a job, it's a long year, so it can feel like that. But if you treat it just going out there, having fun and, you know, kind of have a thought process, can't believe they're paying us to do this, you know, you're going to have fun with it.
I have the same thought process myself. Can't believe they're paying me to do this, to talk to you. Andrew, thanks so much for the time, buddy. Thanks for checking in from out on the West Coast. Wish you guys a great trip and looking forward to seeing you back here in DC when you guys get back.
Appreciate it.
Join us for the inaugural Nationals Home Run Charity 5K presented by Congressional Sports for Charity. Lace up your sneakers and celebrate the start of the 2021 season with our virtual 5K running from April 23rd through 30th. Register today at natsforgood.org. Stick around, more Nats Insider after this.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right. right, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Dan Kolko back with you on Nats Insider here on 106.7 The Fan. A lot going on with the team on the field. And as always, a lot going on with the Nationals organization away from the field. Hence, me bringing in this guy, Tal Alter, the CEO of Washington Nationals Philanthropies. Tal's a good friend of mine and does a fantastic job with all the Nationals philanthropic efforts. Tal, how you doing, man?
I'm great. I always appreciate the kind words, Dan. Thank you.
Tal, Nationals Philanthropies is organizing a charity 5K this year. This is the first time that you guys have done this, and I love the idea. Tell people that are listening a little bit about the event and how they can sign up and how this all came to be.
Yeah, so it's something we've actually been exploring for some time. And then obviously, as with everything, you know, COVID kind of put a bit of a pause on planning anything new. But once we realized that this is something we could do, we jumped at the opportunity and aligned with our teammates across the organization. And, you know, it's a tremendous opportunity for us to bring our fans together, wherever they might be, to do something that they might be doing anyway, walking or running, and support the Nationals organization in its effort to be a civic partner for our community. So the inaugural Nationals Home Run Charity 5K, which is being generously presented by the Congressional Sports for Charity organization that runs the Congressional Baseball Game, is inviting our fans to celebrate the start of the baseball season and do so in a safe, family-friendly way. So the virtual race will actually take place over the course of a week between April 23rd and April 30th. Any participant who registers can run or walk safely distanced in the convenience of their neighborhood. We are also going to be providing people with suggested routes if there is some interest in kind of gathering in small groups and doing so in a safe way. Registration is open now. And it's actually open through the end of race week. So even if on the April 25th, you say, you know what, I still want to do this. You don't, just because the race week has already started, you don't miss out on the opportunity. And, you know, we're trying to make this as much like a charity race, any other charity race that someone's participated in elsewhere. So even though we're not doing it at one place at one time. So all participants will receive a t-shirt. They'll get a race bib. They'll get a finisher medal and a neck gaiter. So it's really just like a real race, and it's some cool, you know, branded gear. So, you know, even if you just do it for that, I think it's worth it. And we've been really thrilled with the response. We have more than 1,000 people who have already registered, and, you know, dozens of people are signing up every day, and partly because it's easy to do. So if you go to Nats for Good, it's the number four. So natsforgood.org/events. You can click to register right there. A $60 donation supports the community impact work of Washington Nationals Philanthropies. We can talk more about that, obviously. But we are really excited about this event, Dan, and I'm glad that you are too.
Yeah, I definitely am. And I love the fact that you get the finishing medal regardless of whether or not you actually finished. So for someone like me who doesn't love running, I could, in theory, take part, tell everyone that I finished and came in first place, and no one would have to know any different.
Tal, 5K can be a run walk, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Tal, we were so excited this past week to open up the gates of Nationals Park to fans for the first time since game 5 of the World Series. It felt so special having even just the 5,000 there. And I know that the players felt the same. When people do show up to Nationals Park over the course of the next days, weeks, months, what can they do? What should they know in terms of ways to support Nationals Philanthropies while they're at the games?
Yeah. So I'll say two things. One is we have some tremendously talented people on our team putting together content that shares our work with the Nats fan base. So as you walk around the park and you're looking at the video boards and you're looking at the signage and you should be noticing, like, there's a lot going on with Nationals Philanthropies. And I just urge our fans to, you know, you're there to watch a baseball game and we certainly understand that, but, you know, take a moment to read what we're up to, because there's a lot of stuff and it might, you know, there might be one thing that really resonates with you and we'd love to for you to engage in that way. But at the game itself, there's one way in which you can support our organization and its work, and that's through the 50-50 raffle, which I think anyone who's been to Nats Park in the last five or so years knows that this is a program that we've run. Our most successful year with the program was in 2019. And, you know, of course, 2020 put a halt on that to some degree, but we want to pick the momentum back up. And what we're really excited about is that we're actually giving our fans new ways to participate in the raffle. So in the past, the raffle was a cash only operation. We can still accept cash, and actually it's the only cash operation still operating in the ballpark. So we will accept cash for this program, but we're also now accepting debit cards. And if DC Lottery allows, we'll actually be moving to an online raffle before the end of the year. So certainly keep your eye out for that. But as has always been the case, the larger the pot, the more the person who wins the raffle goes home with. So you're putting money in for the chance to win. And if you don't win, or even if you do, the other half of the pot is supporting the community impact work of Nationals Philanthropies. And we, you know, the 50-50 raffle is a really important vehicle for us to raise funds that allow us to then support community organizations throughout the DC region. During the pandemic, we focused on the issues of food security, which was already an issue for many in our community, but exacerbated certainly by the pandemic. Access to health and other human services, social work. I mean, think about all of the challenges people are facing mentally right now with their mental health and well-being. There are a lot of great organizations that are ensuring that, you know, young people and adults alike are getting the support they need to re-enter the new normal. So our organization is a critical resource for the nonprofit community in the region, because we are using our platform, our brand platform, and all of the fans who care so much about the work we do to then raise money and support those organizations. And again, the 50-50 raffle is a great way for us to do that. So please, you know, a couple dollars gives you a chance to win. You get better odds the more money you put in. And you know, we're hoping that people are enthusiastically participating in that activity when they get to the park.
Tal Alter, the CEO of Washington Nationals Philanthropies, joining me on Nats Insider. And Tal, you guys in the past have done scoreboard messages where people can shout out happy birthdays, happy anniversary, things of that nature. I would imagine you guys are running that program back again this year. And if so, how can fans that are at the ballpark send a message to somebody that is with them, a loved one or a friend?
Yeah. So people might not realize that when you put messages on our scoreboard, you're actually supporting Nationals Philanthropies. And so we certainly want to encourage people to engage in that activity. And I know when you're at the park and you see your name on the board, that's a cool thing. The players do look at the board. So there's always a chance that a player might see your name on the board. And, you know, I think that's cool to think about too, especially for young people. Each message is put up there with a $100 donation to Nationals Philanthropies. And it's really easy to do. And like you said, a welcome, a birthday, an anniversary message, you know, anything positive you want to put on the screen, you know, we will work with you to get that up there. And to do so, all you have to do is go to nationals.com/scoreboard, select the game that you want to submit a message, and we will handle the rest from there.
Super cool. Tal Alter, CEO of Washington Nationals Philanthropies. here with me on Nats Insider. Tal, let's get into the stuff that everything that you've said so far is great, but this, you know how much the Youth Baseball Academy has a place in my heart. I've spent some time there in past years, and you guys are making such an incredible impact over in Ward 7 in so many families with young people that are spending time at the academy. They're learning about baseball and softball, but they're learning about so much more than that. Life skills and help with school and healthy eating and all of the different components of it. Obviously, the pandemic affected the Youth Baseball Academy as it affected pretty much everything. So how have you guys pivoted now that things are, you know, trending a little bit more upwards? And how has it felt to be able to kind of reopen a little bit?
Yeah, well, first, Dan, thank you for that. And also thank you for all the time you have already spent and the time in advance for the time you will spend at the Academy, because I know you'll, as soon as you can, you'll be back out there. I talked about National Philanthropies being a civic platform for supporting our region. Unlike most professional sports teams, we also operate our own program. And I want to emphasize that most teams don't do this. We built an $18 million facility in the heart of Ward 7 in 2013 and 2014 and opened a program that has, up through 2019, grown every year to serve more and more children and more community members, especially those living in under-resourced neighborhoods, primarily east of the Anacostia River in Ward 7 and 8, although we do have program offerings that reach children in other parts of the city. Yes, we've had to pivot quite a bit, just like everyone. And we did, a lot of virtual programming over the summer last year. And at one point we were able to have kids back, but then of course, as things shut down over the winter, so did we, but we're back. We're thrilled to have our scholar athletes back on campus. So we have our base program, which is serving third through eighth grade children from neighborhoods east of the Anacostia. And like you said, they receive academic support. They receive lots of baseball instruction and a chance to, learn the game and to the extent that they're interested, really become baseball and softball players. We offer a really robust mentoring program. So it's not just about supporting kids in their academic pursuits or their athletic pursuits or their physical health, but having adult role models, having relationships with caring adults is so important. Research is very clear for any child to live a happy, healthy, successful life. And the Academy's sweet spot is working with members of our community who want to be mentors, who want to develop close relationships with young people. And so throughout the pandemic, but certainly under normal circumstances, our mentors are interacting one-on-one with an Academy Scholar athlete. And that has continued. And now we're picking that back up in person. So we have kids at the facility almost 7 days a week now, whether it's playing baseball or softball, they're after school for academic support or engaging with their mentors. And I of course, want to emphasize that we are following strict health and safety protocols and ensuring it's a safe return. But you can't beat, virtual programming was good, and I'm very proud of what we did there, but you can't beat the interpersonal interaction that takes place when you're with people. And so the Academy is a wonderful place for that to happen, and it is once again happening.
How can fans support the Academy, ones that want to get involved?
Well, you can certainly make a donation to support the program writ large. And we would urge you to go to natsacademy.org to do so. And every dollar that you donate to the Academy is restricted to the programs that we run there. And if that's what you choose to support, we will ensure that that's what it's doing. But we have offered also a couple of more specific ways for people to contribute. I mentioned the issues of food security, and that those are particularly poignant for the Ward 7 community that we're serving, where there's only one grocery store for every 75,000 people. And for many people, that grocery store is not even really accessible. It's hard to get to. It's hard to go grocery shop, bring food home. And so whatever we can do to utilize our facility as a vehicle to make it easier to find fresh fruit and vegetables, we are doing that. So we have been operating what we call the Field of Greens Market now for a couple of years. But for the first time, the public can actually support the market that helps us ensure consistent food access to vulnerable residents living near the Academy facility in Fort DuPont Park. So a $30 donation buys a bag of produce that offers enough fruits and vegetables for 1 week for a family of four. And just think about like how impactful that is to not have to worry about where your fresh produce is coming from, and to know that everyone in your family, by virtue of a highly subsidized bag offered at a facility that's walkable to your neighborhood, will have fruit and vegetables for the week. We are reducing the stress of not knowing where that food is going to come from. So again, a $30 donation supports a family of four for an entire week. And I'm proud to say that our community has really responded to this effort. So since we launched the program in February, we've already provided more than 2,500 meals to the community surrounding the Academy. Again, if you're interested in supporting that effort, you can go to natsacademy.org to make a donation. You'll see the Buy a Bag program when you go to the homepage.
And I encourage everyone to do that, natsacademy.org. Tal Alter, the CEO of Washington Nationals Philanthropies. Tal, thanks as always for the time. You guys are doing such great work, and I hope to see you sometime soon.
Hey, Dan, I just want to say before we close out here that I am so excited that you are back with the Nationals. And I genuinely mean that. You are, you've been a great advocate for our work, but you're a Washingtonian, you're a Nationals fan, and you are representative of our fan base in so many ways. And that's why what you say resonates with people. So the fact that you're a champion for what we do, like I genuinely mean it, even though you were teasing me at the beginning, it means a lot. So thank you for continuing to have me on and being a supporter of the work that we're doing in the community. It resonates with our fans, and it certainly means a lot to me.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right, man. Take care.
Need new Nats gear for the 2021 season? Visit the Nationals team store at Nationals Park or National Harbor, open daily. Both stores boast the newest selection of gear for every Nats fan. Visit nationals.com/team store for more information. And be sure to download the MLB app to get in-game video highlights, live pitch-by-pitch, breaking news, player updates, stat leaderboards, and more for your Nationals. When we come back on Nats Insider, I'll be joined by FP Santangelo. Stick around. More Nats Insider after the break. Welcome back. Game 2 of 3 between the Nationals and Dodgers will be coming up tonight. Dodgers gave us a little bit of a nice start time yesterday for a West Coast team. Didn't have to hang around too late to watch the first game of this series. Tonight it'll be a late one. 9 o'clock start from out in Los Angeles. Nats will try and get even in this series and then send Max Scherzer to the mound for the rubber game on Sunday. Caught up before yesterday's game against the Dodgers with FP Santangelo, my coworker and analyst on our Masson broadcasts, and wanted to talk to FP about the first few games of the season and just the vibe around Nationals Park. It's been talked about a lot, but he and I had some conversations away from microphones about just what it meant to this baseball community, to us as coworkers and friends, to have fans back in the park, to have the opening day moment that we did with Juan Soto walking off the Braves, and just all the joy that surrounded that day. So here now is my conversation from yesterday with FP. Let's go back to the opening series of the season because the Nationals are kind of into the swing now of their 2021 campaign, but it's still worth reflecting on all the positive vibes that we had the first homestand of the 2021 season here at Nationals Park. And yes, it was delayed. Yes, there were a lot of COVID issues that kind of put a damper on things, but opening day was just so incredible, and you and I were here at the ballpark in empty stadium last year, and just to have some buzz back in this place felt so good.
Yeah, the 5,000 that were here were so loud, especially when Juan got his base hit, and I told all my friends this, that it was the first day in over a year I felt normal again.
Yeah.
And I think you could say the same thing, and you know, there was fans in the ballpark, you know, Juan was going crazy after the walk-off single. We went to have a few pops after the game, and it just, everything seemed normal again. And if you feel like there's light at the end of the tunnel all of a sudden. I'm talking about the big picture, not just baseball. So like for one day in a year, over a year, I mean, driving home, the endorphins that were released during that game and just to feel normal again. I mean, I get into the baseball part of it, but the big picture that, you know, I get deep a lot. The big picture was I finally, for the first time in over 365 days, felt normal again.
Yeah, and we, you know, baseball is such a long season and you've been in the game for the bulk of your life, really. And last year threw all of that off, and in terms of the delay, in terms of the games in empty stadiums. And, you know, for those of us that work in the industry, it's one thing. Fans, I think, still relate to it, even though it's not as much of a part of their daily life as it is for us because it's our job, and the ballplayers because it's what they do. Fans, I think, could totally relate to just having that back in their lives again, where they can pop on the TV, they can come to the ballpark, and it just feels like, you know, you're back before COVID even existed in some ways.
Well, that's what got me personally through last year. Because I, you know, as I kind of had a reflection of the players' attitude where, you know, we went through all the highs of 2019, the top of the baseball mountain. Those guys played the most intense games of their careers on the biggest stage. And then they come to crickets at the ballpark. And they didn't get to tie a bow around their World Series, so to speak. And, you know, the one thing that got me through last season, because I had trouble getting motivated for games. You know, I love doing this as much as I did playing. And every day I get behind that mic, you know, I'm like a little kid and I'm talking about baseball. And we have the greatest jobs in the world. But last year I had trouble getting motivated to do the games because it was a 60-game season. Like, what did it count for? We just, you know, we just partied like rock stars for the whole winter of 2019 into 2020 even. We were still going in January and free drinks everywhere and just partying and reveling in a World Series championship. So, I mean, the one thing that got me through that was what you just said, thinking about we're doing this for the fans at home. Like, you know, there's even though this is so odd, it's a zombie apocalypse basically at the ballpark. There's chicken bones in the tunnel way from the World Series that, you know, we're sitting there doing this for the fans at home so that, you know, they can have some sense of normalcy, like crack a beer, watch a game, even though there's fake fan noise. And it sucked. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It sucked. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't baseball, but we got to watch the guys run around a little bit. But now, 162-game season, even though it started off a little rocky for these guys, I think we look back in September and we barely remember what happened on opening day with the guys missing three games.
FP Santangelo joining me on Nats Insider. And FP, let's talk about the baseball team now a little bit. Talking to Andrew Stevenson earlier on the show, he said he feels like, given the adversity this team has had early on in the season, if they find a way to come out of all of this okay, that it can kind of be a little bit of a galvanizing thing for this team, that they can, it'll bring them together, a little bit of an us against the world's type of a mentality, so to speak. Do you buy into that, that they're in tough times right now, they're missing a lot of their key guys, but if they're able to kind of hold the fort, if they're able to play 500 ball, maybe slightly above, that it can really, you know, coming out the other side, be a significant thing for them?
Yeah, I mean, look at the Marlins last year. They did that. And they got to the playoffs. And, you know, they had that big COVID thing where they missed all the games, had to play a bunch of doubleheaders, and they kind of rallied around it. I remember last year when we couldn't hear things that the Marlins dugout was one of the loudest dugouts, if not the loudest dugout I heard all year. So those guys rallied around adversity and got to the playoffs last year. So, yeah. I'm just not a big believer in next man up. We hear that all the time. It's like the biggest cliche in sports. You know, there's a reason why, you know, guys make $30 million a year. There's a reason why guys make the team, guys don't make the team. So, you know, you do whatever you can right now to scrap out a win. But we're doing this interview before the first game in Dodger Stadium. Then they go to Busch Stadium and play the Cardinals. This is a brutal road trip if you're at full strength. Now, they got some guys back today, and it seems like they're starting to get back to full strength. You heard that Patrick Corbin just landed in Los Angeles, flew there by himself, all the guys that were activated today. But under the best circumstances, this is a brutal road trip, defending world champions, the Cardinals with Nolan Arenado and their upgrades in the offseason. So, yeah, if they're 500 coming back to Nats Park from this, I'm going to be honest and say I'll be surprised, but you can rally around that.
Last question for you, FP. You talk about stars, you know, making $30 million for a reason. When you're in times like this, do you think it's tough for the Juan Sotos, for the Trey Turners, the Max Scherzers, to not put too much on themselves and say, we're without you know, one third of our opening day roster, I gotta pick up some of that slack a little bit. Do you think that plays into their heads at all?
Well, I mean, it's case by case basis. I think Max talks about getting better every year, every day as a pitcher, and always evolving because the league's getting better and he's got to get better. I don't think who's around him affects him personally once every 5 days. I think Juan Soto's used to being in the spotlight like he was in the World Series. He's going to do what he does. And Trey Turner's I talked to some Dodger people yesterday that were asking about our ball club, and I said he's starting to fall into that Anthony Rendon sneaky underrated guy where he might be one of the top 5 to 10 players in the National League. And, you know, it's weird that that was his best friend, and they're kind of like, mm-hmm. he doesn't like the spotlight, but he loves his teammates. He wants to win. He's a quiet leader. To me, I'm seeing Trey Turner evolve into Anthony Rendon. So I don't think he's going to put too much pressure on himself. Just go out there and play. And the other guys have to do, you know, my goal as a utility player was not to get noticed. You know, you just kind of fit in, blend in, and that's what the other guys should be doing right now. There's this mentality that, oh, I'm getting my chance, and blah, blah, blah. No, just fit in and do one little thing a day to help your ball club win.
The Patriots mindset that Bill Belichick always says, do your job. If everyone on the roster does their job, you'll be in a good situation.
Yeah, I get called up from the alternate site. I'm going to go 6 for 4 today with 3 home runs. No, I'm going to lay it a bunt down. I'm going to score a run. I'm going to make a great play. I'm going to contribute to a major league win. And that's the mindset that the other guys have to have. And then Trey and Juan and Zim and the veteran guys just do their thing.
FP, thanks.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
Good stuff there from FP, as always. Thanks to him for joining me this week. Thanks to Andrew Stevenson for taking some time out west. And thanks to Tall Alter as well. Good show today. Thanks to Vic Ferreira for putting it all together, as always. And thanks to you for listening. Nationals going to try and get 2 wins out in Los Angeles, and then it's off to St. Louis to complete this road trip. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you guys next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.